Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Digitally Uploaded podcast. We have a very special episode for you this week. We are going to be talking all about music for the whole thing. And yeah, we're going to be playing some of our favorite tracks from all of video games as well. So, should be a very musical episode. We have with us this week Ginny. Hello, Ginny.
Hey, everyone.
We have Alan. Hello, Alan.
Hello, I've returned.
You have. And his first suggestion was to play some Sonic music today, and I put a stop to that. So don't worry, everybody, you're not going to have to listen to Sonic.
Damn
We also have with us James, who's also back from our long hiatus. Hello, James, how are you doing?
I am good, friends. How are you?
Good stuff. It's all good. Okay, so we're going to start actually by talking about a certain Final Fantasy concert that James and I were at. And to get us in the mood, rather than play Hatsune Miku, who's not yet in a Final Fantasy game,
Thank
the
God.
Scratch doesn't listen to my suggestions. I keep sending them letters and they just keep ignoring them. But
It's like sending letters to Santa.
please put Hatsune Miku in Final Fantasy. But yeah, we've got a nice alternative. I mean, everybody likes a chocobo, so let's have a listen to some pretty cool chocobo music. Music chocobos are great. They're the greatest thing in Final Fantasy, as far as I'm concerned. And the music's pretty damn good too. James and I were at Distant Worlds on the invitation of Bandai Namco, who distribute and do PR for Square Enix in Australia.
Thank you very much to them for that, by the way.
Indeed, that was a
Yeah,
very
thanks,
generous
guys.
ticket. Tickets from them. It was a great concert, really, really great concert. And yeah, we had a lot of fun. That's the first time I've been to a Final Fantasy dedicated symphony. And yeah, I had a really good time. What did you think of it, James?
I thought it was amazing. It was a really wonderful show. Very. I mean, it was exactly what I expected. But in saying that, it was still wonderful. Like it was everything that I wanted it to be. It's been a long time since I've played a Final Fantasy game that I've really enjoyed, and being able to go back and live through, and hear like A, to hear all that music live in an acoustic setting, and to have like the music kind of breathe and flow over you that way was just A, amazing. To have Nobuo-san there was also incredible because he's like a being a muso, he's like up there for me. I think he's one of the best composers that has been working in video games. It was just a wonderful, wonderful evening.
Yeah, there's something about live music, isn't there? That's, when you're actually able to sit there and just focus on the music, as opposed to having them, having it playing in the context of a game, and have the acoustics of, live instruments as opposed to recording. There's just something really special about that, and you can kind of appreciate the music on a different level, I think, than you would just listening to it in the background as you play a game, and you've got all the other sound effects and all the action going on around you as well. So yeah, I think, obviously everybody knows that Final Fantasy is one of the great strengths of the series has been its music. And everybody
Except for number
has,
two.
oh, what are you talking about, Alan? Number two was great. The music was great. It's all great. Final Fantasy 2 introduced chocobos. You wouldn't have that chocobo theme at all if it wasn't for
It's
Final
also
Fantasy
like a
2.
4 measure long theme that just goes the same thing on repeat and drives me insane.
I could listen to that all day long.
And you poo-poo Sonic.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, it's when you go to the symphony, one of the things that, of course, you want is your favorite songs to be played, and you're kind of looking forward to whether or not your favorite track will get played at the symphony. What did you think of the list of tracks that they picked, James?
It was a good list. I mean, there was, so being that my personal experience with sort of Final Fantasy leans more onto like the 7 to 9 kind of part of the series, it was the series, what they played, they had a few tracks from those games, but they were pretty well spread out throughout the series. It was a really good mix of lots of music from across all or most of the Final Fantasy games. I mean, there was stuff in there from what, 7, 8. I can see 5 in there. I can see 4 in there. There was the main theme from 10 that they played, which was really
Yay, which
nice.
is the song that they always have to play, otherwise I will riot.
Well, they, so Arnie Roth, who was the conductor, and also kind of the guy who put a lot of this stuff together and has done a lot of this sort of live touring work with Uematsu-san and a lot of sort of the video game symphonies that have been touring the world the last however many years. He mentioned that they wanted to have a certain few songs that should always be considered a part of the set and should always be considered as classics. And to Zanakand, which is
The
the
best
Final Fantasy
song
X
on the
theme,
entire soundtrack.
is definitely one of those. They also played the main theme from the Final Fantasy series to
Prelude.
the but they did it to the new trailer for Final Fantasy VII for the remake. And that was
Oh, that's
awesome.
good.
That was
That's
very
really cool.
cool. And they also played One Winged Angel, which yeah, was just, as epic as you would expect it to be.
Yes.
So yeah, there was a lot of really good stuff in there. And even the stuff that I didn't recognize was still just, glorious in its own way. I mean, just being a fan of music, it kind of helps. But I imagine there would have been like some crazed Final Fantasy fans in the crowd as well, who just would have gone absolutely wild for the entire thing.
Yeah, I mean, what I really liked about it was that it didn't play necessarily the tracks that you would expect from some of the games. For instance, Final Fantasy 13, the track that they played was Lightning's theme. Not Lightning's theme, sorry, Fang's theme. And Fang's theme is a really good track. It's not the one that you would necessarily expect
Yeah, I
if
was
you were.
gonna say that's a very strange choice, but
It is, but
okay.
it worked really well live, and they picked a really good. I mean, Fang's main scene, I guess, in Final Fantasy 13 is a pretty dramatic, exciting one. It's one that, where they're flying down, the ship's in the process of crashing down into the Grand Pulse,
Oh, that was
and
absolutely awesome. That entire sequence with them playing that music and that video sequence happening in the background was one of the highlights of my night. That was
it was
that was
amazing. I mean,
spectacular.
regardless of what you think about Final Fantasy 13, that scene and that
It has
music
some damn good
together.
music.
Yeah, exactly. Final Fantasy 14, Ginny, you would obviously know that one. It's one of the, oh, I can't remember which boss battles it's played in.
From 14, they played a song called Torn from the Heavens.
Yeah, that's
the one.
And they also played another one called Dragon Song.
Yes,
Dragon Song, yes, that makes sense. So that one is from Heaven's Ward. So it's probably one of the best boss fights. Well, best and most frustrating, but it sort of like really wraps up Heaven's Ward 4 years entire expansion. It's like a really climatic moment in the in-game Dragon Song War. So I think that would have been really great to hear live because I love Heaven's Ward a stupid amount.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little bit disappointed they didn't play good King Mog. I was looking forward
to that. They should have. I think there's so much good trial music. trials are like the sort of in-game mini raids they have in Final Fantasy 14. And lots of trial sets and songs are actually sort of like vocal tracks. They have like really, really heavy orchestral accompaniment, and each boss has their own unique feel. Like Good King Mog, for example, would have been, I think, a hoot if you heard it live. It would have been amazing.
I mean, they had a full choir there as well, obviously.
It would have been perfect.
So it would have been, it would have been amazing. So much fun. And Final Fantasy IV, actually, I can't remember the name of the track, but it was the romance theme song.
Theme of Love, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Rose's theme?
No, it's not Rose's theme. Rose's theme's a different
Roses
song.
Of May. Oh, no, wait, that's from 9, sorry. I'm looking at the set list here, and I'm just going through it, and, of course, my... where is it? They did play a song from 4. I do remember seeing that.
They did. It was fairly early on in the night. And, yeah, it was the main kind of love theme song, but it's not Rose's theme, which is the one that you probably would have expected. This one was slightly different, but it's a great track. It's a really beautiful track. Very underrated Final Fantasy IV. People should
play that one. It was my first one, so like I rate it very highly, but no one else seems to give a single toss about it, which is heartbreaking.
I think part of the problem...
I would love for them to have like the Messenia theme or something instead. That would be great, with like all the weird like... weird cuckoo clock sounds that they have in that.
Yeah.
The one I was a bit surprised, I actually did expect them to play and they didn't. I was really looking forward to the opera scene from Final Fantasy VI.
They didn't play that?
No.
Is that Maria and Draco? Is that the one?
Is that the name of it?
Is that the name of the song? It's the opera. It's the big opera.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would have thought they would have played that. But of course, there's been what? You know, there's literally 1,000 Final Fantasy tracks that have been produced over the years, so narrowing it down to 12 or 13 or whatever for the
From six, Symphony. They actually played a character medley.
That's great. Okay, I like that.
It was good. It was good. But yeah, just not the one I was expecting. But yeah, I mean, I guess what we're saying here is if you get a chance to go along to a Final Fantasy Symphony concert, Distant Worlds or whatever else they might produce down the track, definitely do so because, they're amazing experiences. And sure, it'll cost you as much to get a ticket to go as actually buying a Final Fantasy game. But, you'll come away with a greater appreciation of the Final Fantasy music, I think. How much you might have liked it from the games, you'll appreciate it even more as a result of the concert. Do you think that any soundtrack would work? All these franchises that are out there and been around for a long time. Do you think you'd go along to say a Sonic Symphony?
Yes,
probably a bad example.
Yes, of course, 100%.
That's just a Crush 40 concert. What are you talking about? Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
So much attitude coming from that building.
Do you think it works for everything, or is it just kind of game type of music that would work in concerts, and some other music would be best left to CDs and actual in-game.
I'm trying very hard to not be like, I like all music, but music's pretty good. It's what I study. And to be quite frank, anything can be good if done right. There just has to be like, obviously, with Final Fantasy, it's pretty easy to sort of set it out because it's already quite, orchestral and symphonic in, the original versions of the songs, even if they're only like 4 measures of the Chocobo theme or something. But
Stop being so reductive.
I will. I'm mad about two. I played it recently. It wasn't as good as I thought it would be.
It's a good thing there's 14 others for you to play.
And tactics. Tactics. yeah, I think, honestly, any game soundtrack can work. I mean, I don't know if you guys have heard the London Philharmonic Orchestra soundtracks that they've done. Just so as a good. Sort of... There's some of the best music I've ever heard performed by an orchestra.
Yeah, it's one thing to hear the Distant Worlds Philharmonic, which was the orchestra that was put together specifically by Arnie Roth for these sorts of shows. But then, and this is no slight against them, but when you start talking about a group like the London Philharmonic Orchestra, people who are widely regarded as some of the best musicians in the world, and one of the best collectives of musicians in the world, that I think would be something out of this world.
Yeah, I mean, if you've heard the Mass Effect 2 Suicide Mission theme played by the London Philharmonic Orchestra, it is one of the most incredible things, not to mention the Luigi's Mansion theme. It makes me so happy. Mario!
Yoshi's Story. Get the London Philharmonic to play Yoshi's Story theme.
That could totally work.
It absolutely would. I want to see like a chorus of children going and doing the Yoshi sound as well. I want to see that now. I'm going to build that.
Do you think it's too late to petition Nintendo to make Mario X Rabbids be like orchestrally scored?
It's never too late for a petition, Ginny.
Bad Far Cry 5.
Story. If that doesn't put you in a good mood, nothing will. That was Alan's choice of favorite music track from video games.
And well, to be fair,
it's pretty good. It's a good.
Was asked originally to bring a piece of music to the fold, and everyone brought orchestral stuff. And I was like, well, okay, time to mix that with some Yoshi's Island, and then went to Yoshi's Story because I feel like shouting children is something that every good podcast needs.
Which is a nice segue into, I guess, what we'll talk about in this segment of the podcast. What we like to hear in our game tracks, and what kind of soundtracks we like to have supporting our games. Alan apparently likes soundtracks with shouting children, which is okay.
Your Automata, here we go.
Oh yes, Alan has one too. Yes, that's
it does, true. And it's incredibly annoying.
And
it's been designed by Yoko Taro just to be annoying as well.
I actually like that track. That's that was a good track. Ginny, when you're playing a video game, what to you makes a good soundtrack? Is it something you kind of notice? Is it something that's in the background? Is it something that makes you want to go out and buy the CD straight away, or is it what kind of music do you like to hear supporting the video games that you play?
Well, I'm always that one idiot that's got, like, the background music turned up all the way to max and, like, system sounds turned down. So when I'm raiding, everyone just hates me because I can't hear when the boss skulls are going off. But basically for me, what I think really makes me want to go out and immediately purchase or, like, throw my money at any kind of game soundtrack is when the character themes are, like, readily identifiable. So, for example, when each character, even if they're like small, they add something to like the building body of music. So one good example, I think, is in Dragon Age 2. If anyone who hates BioWare, I'm so sorry. But in Dragon Age 2, whereby they have a sort of main theme, which is symbolic of the political climate of where the game is set. So for context, obviously huge spoilers, it's set during a huge rebellion. And so there's a main theme which the game riffs off of for each individual NPC character that you're with. And what it does is it adds its own little touch depending on the NPC character, but the main theme sort of still there. And when you have conversations with these people, you sort of hear the theme and like the character's actual individual sort of tweak to the actual main themes kind of creep in and out. And I find it really interesting and I think more engaging for me when I'm playing a game and I can, without having to look at my screen, I know what's going on around me when it builds atmosphere, it builds character, and also like adds more to the game world, because as the game evolves, the theme gets less and less sparse. So I think what I value most, I guess, in a theme is a sense of momentum, that it's taking me somewhere in the game to a specific place, and that someone's thought about how the player character is going to experience this, and they've sort of created the music as part of their exploration of the game. Yeah.
It's the entire concept of having a good leitmotif, sorry.
Exactly.
Which is just, it's just intelligent music writing. I mean, we can sit here and talk about it in our classical musician radio announcer voices. But I really personally enjoy when a composer completely understands the narrative themes of his work.
What the hell's going on here?
this was agreed on previously, by the way, James.
Yeah, this is a bit that I was working on for like a week, and it's ruined.
Yeah, it's in our contracts. We have to do it.
I just really enjoy it when you obviously have a composer who's worked with, you know, the game studio obviously very well to create something that is thematically and, you know, orally coherent. So Bastion, for example, and Transistor, Darren Korb being one of my favorite composers at the moment, that music is completely identifiable only from those games, and I would not pair it with anything else. And I feel like a lot of like games within the sort of, I guess, 2006 through to 2013 period were just all generic, like One Winged Angel wannabes.
I think you're insane.
No, like it was all just orchestral fluff, and I don't like that, and I missed that. I missed having this constant sort of work around with, you know, unique ideas that weren't just here's an orchestra, play something, or like here's a lost string.
Yeah, here's a 76 instrument orchestra. Wow, so simple.
As a musician, I can confirm this.
I do kind of get where Alan's coming from. Like, I do feel like there are a lot of games, especially on the bigger end of town, the AAA games, that try and be very cinematic with the soundtracks. And it doesn't always work for me either. Like, which one was it? Crisis 3, I think.
Oh my god, don't even get me started about Crisis.
Well, it's a good example, because it stuck with me for all these years, even though I haven't played Crisis 3 in like a decade, or whenever it last came out.
No, a decade, just say a decade.
Yeah, but it had one of the real Hollywood talents who did the theme song for it. I can't remember which one it was. Howard, I think?
Yes, I think so. Hold on.
Just quickly look it up, but yeah, it had one of the you know, major Hollywood.
Ron Howard, yeah.
Ron Howard, the director. Hans Zimmer did the epilogue theme for Crisis 2.
Did he?
Yeah.
Apparently. Whoa. Okay, that's why that game sounded like really like why.
Anyway, whoever did it, they did get major Hollywood talent in to score one of the theme tracks for the game, and
Peter Antofsky.
That might have been it.
Or Borislav Slavov.
No, I think he did the rest of the soundtracks. But
amazing names.
Point being that it kind of overpowered the rest of the game and kind of jarred with it. And it was done to be cinematic, and you know, the game was obviously designed to try and look as cinematic as possible. But the music didn't really reinforce what the game was, you know, about. So I think that For me, what I like in a soundtrack is something that kind of blends into the background, and I don't really notice it while I'm playing the game, but when I hear it afterwards, I then go and get inspired to buy the CD. So a good example for me is actually Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you here. ME3 has an amazing soundtrack.
I didn't actually notice the music at any point when I was playing Mass Effect 3. It was resonating with me, but it was resonating in a very unconscious way. It was only when I heard the soundtrack independent of the game and then realized that, you know, this is Mass Effect 3, I was like, my God, that's like really good composition. And yeah, I went and bought the CD after that because it was that good. So for me, that's where a soundtrack's really good. And, you know, we were talking about Final Fantasy beforehand. Actually, a lot of Final Fantasy games, I don't really notice the music while I'm playing them either. There are a couple of examples where I do, like Good King Mog from Final Fantasy 14. You know, you can't help but notice that song. But in a lot of cases, I only really pay attention to the music and really notice what story it's telling when I listen to it separately afterwards. While I'm within the game, it kind of just washes over me, and it just kind of helps to build the atmosphere of the game and the story that it's telling. And like you said before, Ginny, in Final Fantasy games, traditionally every character has their own theme, and you know, you get a sense of the character through that theme, even though I'm not really noticing, I'm not focusing on the soundtrack while I'm playing. So yeah, I mean, James, what about you? You like different kind of games, racing games and stuff like that as well. So for you, what makes a good soundtrack? What kind of gets you into the game?
So for me, I feel like a good soundtrack is one that kind of meets both gameplay and setting in the middle somewhere. Something that sort of... probably sounds a little bit cliche, but I like the idea of like an oral setting and landscape being laid out in a similar fashion to the way that a game world is. So I think a good example of that is I'm a big fan of all of Jeremy Sewell's work, who did all the soundtracks for the latest Elder Scrolls games. I think he does a really fantastic job of sort of painting that landscape in a musical way, and also like kind of representing a lot of the different environments and situations that you can sort of get yourself into. I feel like Nobuo Uematsu from who obviously did all the for like Final Fantasy from like 1 to 10 or whatever it was. I feel like he was also very good at doing that. He was wonderful at crafting themes that are memorable. Going back to what Ginny was saying before about, about character themes and having something that you can call back to that sort of makes sense. I always come back to the Turks theme from Final Fantasy VII.
Yes.
Okay.
I feel like that's like one of the more instantly, like as soon as you hear that first note, you know that those like Reno and Root are going to show up. And then also I'm playing through Nier Automata at the moment, and I think that has a really wonderful soundtrack.
It's one of the best soundtracks ever written. Yeah. I think we've spent like at least 4 podcasts talking about it.
Yeah, so yeah, I think that's particularly there's the Matt, are you still alive?
I'm alive, yeah.
Your microphone's going all very strange.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. One of the tracks from that is the maybe a slight spoiler here, but the track from the Machine Village.
That's an amazing one.
Just gorgeous. And I like the way that plays because it has a lot of sort of a children's choir in it, and I like how that kind of plays off the innocence of the machines in the village. I've not finished the game yet, so I don't know if anything horrible happens to them or like whatever, you know, if that has any kind of other thematic
significant. I'm knowing exactly what happens. I'm so excited for you to experience it, because it could either be the biggest double bluff in the world, or it could be like.
I'm like halfway through my second playthrough, or maybe about two thirds of the way through my second playthrough.
Long to go then until you find out what happens.
Still got a little ways to go, but I think that's absolutely gorgeous.
The other thing, when you get a chance, James. If you get a chance, because Square Enix refuses to do a HD remaster of the thing, go back and play the original Nier as well.
Not as
great game, but you'll appreciate the soundtrack for Nier Automata even more once you hear the soundtrack for Nier, because Nier Automata actually builds on the existing soundtrack from the previous game.
Yeah, right.
And just as the sequel, in terms of gameplay, in terms of narrative and all of that, very subtly builds on what happened in the original Nier, the soundtrack does the same thing, and it's just... It's just mind-blowing how good it is and how much it helps build the narrative. I think that's... Like Alan said, we must have talked on about this soundtrack in at least a dozen podcasts now. Probably will another dozen more, because it is just...
And it will be totally justified and relevant as well, which is the best bit.
It's a good one.
There really needs to be a symphony just for Nier sound music.
I just want to hear the field song from the first Nier. I forget what it's called. Fields of whatever. Ard Skelliger. No, that's Witcher.
close.
It's close. It's a field. It's all right. I just want to hear that played by an orchestra. I'd be so happy. I would be so happy. And just get the same singer in, because she is incredible and everything that she does is basically gold.
But then on the other side of the coin... I also, and I know Matt doesn't like this, but I also really like the soundtrack to Doom 2016.
Yes, it's incredible.
Why do you do this to me?
Divisive.
It's really good.
Whether you like it or not, I think it arguably achieves its goal in making sort of being the big, like, demonic metal hell that you kind of really want from just one of those shooters. It kind of just plays on the idea that, hey, I know what this is. And I also really like the mix of Mick Gordon's mix of, like, synths and heavy guitars in that soundtrack. I think he goes a really long way to throw, like, the mechanical kind of nature of a lot of the demonic enemies in that game into the soundtrack. I kind of really appreciated that stuff as well, even though I know it's an incredibly divisive subject around these parts.
Shouldn't be, because it's very good.
The Doom pinball table from Zen Pinball 2 uses the soundtrack, and I like it. Yeah, I like that more than I like the game, so I can appreciate the music as a result. But yeah, look, I all my comments are...
That's the only reason you like Doom is because you played the pinball table.
I like the pinball table. The pinball table is really good. It's better than the game. It's better at beating than the game.
Having a heart attack over here.
Yeah.
But look, all jokes aside, I agree that the Doom soundtrack fitted with the game perfectly.
Very like thinly veiled like diss on the game from that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not. I actually think that the brief that the music guys got given to come up with, you know, a soundtrack that fitted with what Bethesda was doing with the game, they did it. So you can't criticize that. That's the whole point of why you make a soundtrack for a game, is to make sure it fits with what the game's doing, and the soundtrack does. So as far as that goes, there's just no way you could kind of criticize what Doom does with the music. So there, I do approve of the soundtrack. As much as I don't like the game.
We got it on record, I don't care.
Yeah. I'm just going to edit that so it just sounds like Matt saying, I love Doom.
Persia Sands of Time, which was what released back in 2003 or thereabouts, I want to say. And yeah, we don't have enough soundtracks based on the whole 1001 Arabian Nights kind of aesthetic. So yeah, I picked that one for that reason. That was my choice for this podcast. Thank you. You're welcome, everybody. So
okay. It's aggressively, you're welcome.
So for the last section of the podcast this week, we're going to play a bit of a game. It's the irritating game that nobody actually likes to play, but everyone plays it anyway.
Go to death.
Yeah, no, not that one. That's nobody likes playing that one.
Yeah, no one has to play that either. No one should have to play that.
Nobody wants to play that one. Nobody even, yeah. So we're playing the game where you're stuck on a deserted island and you've got three soundtracks that you can take with you or you have with you. And those are the three that you're just going to have to make do with until someone either rescues you or you die of starvation. Either way, you know, at least you'll have some good music to listen to. So the three, I guess I'll go first while the other guys will think about which ones they'd pick. I would start with probably Persona 4.
Great soundtrack.
Oh, damn. It's
a really good soundtrack.
Because on top of everything else, it's actually, you know, it works divorced of the game because it's all those kind of pop songs and it's kind of that vibe. So even if I can't play the game and I miss the game, I can kind of, you know, enjoy the soundtrack as a separate thing. I would also pick... What else would I pick? I'd take the Lollipop Chainsaw soundtrack with me.
Oh.
Because that's a whole mix of like 80s and, you know, 90s licensed music as well as, yeah, you know, some original stuff. And yeah, it's really good fun. I really like that soundtrack. And yeah, even if you don't play the game, listen to the music because it's pretty funky, fun. Before Alan's time, but anyway.
You like everything's before my time.
Yeah.
And then for the last one, I would take, because I'm not allowed to take Hatsune Miku, they told me not to.
I want to get down.
This is just cruel. I mean, I'm stuck on a deserted island, I'm dying, but I can't listen to Hatsune Miku because Alan says. I'd probably take the Final Fantasy 14 soundtrack.
Yes.
And logically, that's because it has about 70,000 songs on it. So,
God, yeah.
So you're gaming the system, is what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
I've got enough music, then, you know, it'll last me. But in more, you know, more seriously, the music in Final Fantasy 14 is really good.
It is pretty good.
There is a lot of it, and it is all very good, and it has good King Mog. So
he rules with Iron Fist, apparently, I've heard.
Yes, he does. So
like,
even...
like Doom Fist, or
like Terry Crews.
So I can just see, you know, I'm sitting there sipping on a coconut, and, you know, listening to some good King Mog. That's a pretty good way to go out, I think.
Matt's like retirement age. He's sitting like on a beach in Honolulu or something, just like with his headphones of Good King Mog blaring for no reason.
Yeah, it's a good end. All right, so those are my picks.
Everyone's stall for time.
Yeah.
Alan.
Nah, okay, I've got this.
What do you got?
I got this. So, as it is an island, as I have childlike wondering glee because I'm about 4 years old.
Oh my God.
I would love to bring Yoshi's Island.
Yay.
And just be happy.
Okay, yep.
And just listen to the athletic theme while I'm slowly drowning. In a very positive manner.
Oh my God.
No, it's a really, really good soundtrack. I had it on Game Boy Advance when it came out as a port for that, and I can play like four of the different songs on, I think, two or three instruments on each one, which is big for me. I also want to... Why am I just going with Nintendo? What's wrong with me? Majora's Mask? Because Majora's Mask is gorgeous and pretty, and I very much love it still. And I'm going to avoid the Nintendo cliche of just saying, it's Super Mario Galaxy. so that's...
Super Mario Galaxy.
Yeah.
That's
got a really good soundtrack, but I'm going to avoid it because it's like kind of obvious. I am going to say Binding of Isaac.
Oh.
Flash game soundtrack, because that game soundtrack...
Though.
I look. I'm on an island. I'm not going to live for long. I might as well get through my teen angst phase in like a day.
Oh no.
But yeah, if you haven't listened to that, the original Danny Baranowski soundtrack is very, very good. It's very pretty. It's very grim, and it quite frankly perfectly encapsulates that entire game's style. Rebirth's soundtrack is not as good, unfortunately. But you know, going up something that's incredible.
The bonus of doing that is you actually get the best bit of Binding of Isaac anyway, so you don't need to play the game.
Okay, no, step go back.
My god.
Jeez. Here we go. This, like...
Come so on, I've had to go ahead and see Miku in the break,
and Matt's now like going for my neck.
Oh god. Okay. Yeah,
those are alright choices, Alan.
Those are okay.
They're pretty good choices.
Yeah. I did a thing. Right. Let me go.
Judy, what would you take with you?
Okay, well, since Matt just sucked up my choices because I was going to go with Persona 4, Final Fantasy 14, but I won't because I don't want to be boring. Because I am on the island and I'm going to feel very nautical and I'm very bad at swimming. I think I might actually go with the soundtrack from Shantae and the Pirate's Curse.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, Jake Kaufman.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to feel quite positive about my imminent death by drowning and/or/shark and/or/pirate kidnapping. So I don't know how keep me in the mood while I'm just waiting.
When is this island taking place in the world, by the way?
I think I probably just hallucinate the last bit, which is pirate kidnapping.
It's like just turtles.
It's a lost island.
It'll be fine. Yeah, it's like a Bermuda Triangle situation, I feel.
Would you say it's Sonic's Lost World?
No, Alan, no one's taking that soundtrack with them.
You really want to kill yourself on the island, don't you?
Hey!
I've already got Binding of Isaac, I can do that anyway.
Yeah, and I feel like if I had escaped from the city, I'd be motivated to save myself. But that's
escape
not
from the island, make a really bad version of it.
So apart from Shantae, which I'll use to keep myself in high spirits, I would probably also go for Dragon Age 2, just because it's got like a good mix of like incredibly bleak music and also music which is quite, I think, uplifting and empowering to my hallucinatory half-starved self. So, and also, I mean, it's just really classic. I really love it. I think out of all the Dragon Age games, it has the best soundtrack. So I'll definitely go with that. Take it to my grave, I suppose. And I guess if I had to pick a Final Fantasy 1, because I knew that I was going to pick a fucking Final Fantasy 1, I'm going to actually pick Final Fantasy 6.
Yes.
Yep.
Great, great one.
Because, yeah, if I had to bury something with me, I would probably bury, like, my one hard copy of that soundtrack with me. So it would be that for sure. Yeah.
Nice.
There we go. Yep. Very safe choices.
I mean, that's kind of the idea, right? Like, if you're going to be on a deserted island, you're going to want something that's going to...
Yeah, I need all the comfort that I can get, because I'm probably going to die.
Stay broke like me and just bank on the fact that you're probably going to die soon anyway.
I didn't want to Binding of Isaac myself into this.
May as well wallow while I can.
So bleak.
I just imagine like Alan on the island playing Yoshi's like island and being all cheery and then putting Binding off Isaac immediately afterwards and going miserable. It'd be like, you know, it's a pretty bipolar way of living on the island.
And at the end, he just walks into the ocean.
Doesn't look back.
Just... Yeah.
What about you, James? What are your island CDs?
So my first would be the Minecraft soundtrack.
Yes, that's actually like really, really good.
I think that's just a brilliant collection of music, especially a few particular songs. It's a really nice kind of mix of soft, calming, sort of synthy stuff with really nice kind of downbeat tempos and a slightly orchestral vibe to it, but it's more like a synth based. But a lot of the melodies in there are really quite melodic and really peaceful. So I'd like the idea of having that with me. I would probably also take the FTL soundtrack.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's an excellent soundtrack. that is forgotten easily because they're like it came out. That game came out in what, like 2012?
Are you joking?
No, it's quite been old, around for a little while now. Really
okay.
Yeah, that's right. We're all screaming towards our entropic deaths.
Jesus!
See, I'm already prepared.
Oh my god.
And then I'm so torn between... So, look, I'd probably go the Skyrim soundtrack because yeah. I mentioned before my love of what Jeremy Morrowind does. So it would be one of those... You could really kind of chop and change between sort of Morrowind, Oblivion and Skyrim, really. But I feel like, for me personally, the Skyrim soundtrack hit home just a little bit more in terms of... I just listened to that soundtrack outside of the game a lot more than I did any of the others. Mm-hmm. And there's just some particular songs in that are heavenly. Yes. And I mean, if I'm going to like keel over on a fucking island somewhere, then I may as well do it while I'm, you know, pretending to be listening to like an orchestra and like hallucinating off my brain on yes. something that I find in the ocean or whatever, you know? So yeah. I feel like that might be the cool way to go. But man, there's like, it's actually really hard because there's a lot of really good soundtracks that have been made.
I know. It's funny. Like none of us would take like Nier soundtrack. And
because I assumed you would be taking it.
Yeah, we also thought one of the others were.
Well, for me, the reason I wouldn't take it is it's pretty depressing stuff at times. Like the actual soundtrack can get mm-hmm. pretty moody, and you know, me being rational, I wouldn't want to be getting too moody on an island where I'm stuck by myself. But yeah, that's right. There's just so many soundtracks, and you know, taking comfort soundtracks as opposed to ones that you know are objectively, you know, the best kind of music out there. There's just too much to choose between.
I mean, if you're going to a desert island, the last thing I'd want to be doing is like arguing with someone over what I think is objectively the best soundtracks to take with me. I'd be like, screw you, man. I know what yeah, I know. I'm going through some hard times. Give me the good stuff.
But yeah, it's good. It's always fun to kind of, you know, list what kind of soundtrack you'd take on an island and all that. Yeah, there's just too much music out there. Too much good music.
Stop making music is what Matt's trying to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're banning music from the world until everyone's listened to everything.
Well, it's going to be interesting, I guess, just as a side point. You know, a couple of centuries ago, obviously, the composers were the ones that everybody knew, like Bachs and stuff, producing symphonies and ballets and things. Fast forward to today and people often say that where's the kind of classical music styles and stuff, and because everybody's listening to pop music or rock music or whatever when they're buying CDs and listening to dedicated music. But you know, there's still the kind of the learnings and the, you know, the progression of classical music. It goes into films and games, and we see, you know, that there are composers that we listen to, music creators, that a couple of centuries from now will have the same kind of respect that that, yeah, Bach's and whatever, and Beethoven's.
Have we not mentioned Austin Wintry? Because
I was just about to mention the Journey soundtrack by Austin Wintry.
Yeah, because that's a pretty important
one. I think won a fucking Grammy, if that means anything.
I know. Yeah, I mean, he did the best job yet of actually taking Assassin's Creed and doing something, you know, artsy with it. With
that's true.
What he did with Syndicate. So
yeah,
he's really a very special.
The best bit of Syndicate as well, but whatever.
Fuck. Holy shit.
He's something special. That's for sure. The other one I did want to very quickly mention is also Ni No Kuni 2. Ni No Kuni, sorry. And Ni No Kuni 2 now. The composer that scored those games, Joe... Hey, I can't say his last name.
Hisashi.
Hisashi.
It's the dude from... He's good.
Yeah, I mean, he's I mean, he doesn't actually work with Studio Ghibli, but he's done the scores for most of the.
He might as well work with Studio Ghibli.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's done just about everything with them, like Spirited Away and Totoro and all those great soundtracks you love from Studio Ghibli. He did very similar quality work with Ni no Kuni, and I assume the sequel. So that guy's another guy. I should probably take one of his CDs on the island too. I don't know which one.
He's just gonna sneak that. Sneak that somewhere. Yeah. Contraband. Yeah. CD. Yeah.
I'll sneak a fourth CD down my pants.
Oh.
Is that a CD down your pants, or are you just happy to be going to an island? You should probably see a doctor about that. Yeah, if that's what.
It's a very awkward shape.
Sorry, Judy.
Oh, no.
But yeah, that was good. So. In the comments or whatever, everybody who's listening to this podcast, feel free to let us know which three CDs you would take with you onto
Sexy Brutal,
our deserted island.
Oh, God.
Good King Mog.
Yes.
Not Sexy Brutal, Good King Mog, or both. They're both pretty good. And yeah, we'll finish up the podcast this week with Ginny's Choice of Music, which is one of the, what do you want to call them, an in ballad?
Yeah, it's a tavern song. It's a tavern song by your local bard.
Tavern song by your local bard. And yeah, it's from Dragon Age Inquisition, and it's a pretty damn good song to finish out with.
Sarah was never an agreeable girl. Her tongue tells tales of rebellion. But she was so fast and quick with her bow. No one quite knew where she came from. Sarah was never quite the quietest girl. Attacks are loud and they're joyful, but she knew the ways of nobler men, and she knew how to enrage them. She would always like to say, why change the past when you could own this day? Today she will fight to keep her way. She's a rogue and a thief, and she'll tempt your fate. She would always like to say, why change the past when you could own with a bow, arrows strike like a dragon. Sarah was never quite the gentlest girl. Her eyes were sharp like a razor, but she knew the ways of commoner men, and she knew.